Phantom fans, welcome to Season 6, Episode 25 of the Dump and Chase podcast. On this week's show, we'll look back at the Phantoms taking 5 out of 6 points against Green Bay. We'll also look ahead to the final weekend of the regular season with the NTDP U17s. And for this week's edition of Phantom Files, we welcome defenseman Colson Hanrahan to the show. The Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio starts right now. You know, guys, I've seen a lot of things in hockey, but I don't think I've ever seen a player punch a linesman and the end result is that the player goes back to the bench.
No, I've never seen that either.
No,
I think the referee should have, the linesman should have went in the box for not putting him in the box. That was pretty ridiculous, in my opinion.
We've always said you can't talk your way out of a penalty. That may have been the first time.
And he's German. I don't even know how much English he talks. He speaks.
punched the linesman right in the chest as the lineman was trying to pull him away. He punched the linesman right in the chest. The linesman pointed to the penalty box. He stood there and whatever he said for 5 or 10 seconds and then skated back to the bench. That's the kind of weekend we had. So certainly not advocating punching linesmen or referees, but apparently there is a way to get away with it. So gentlemen, how we doing?
Whew. Was a long weekend.
Yes, it was.
Long weekend of hockey. I had a great time. My voice, not so much. I don't know if it's from yelling or what, but I had a good weekend.
I will say, I mean, at least if anything, with a 3-game weekend, we still had Sunday off. So,
yeah, going in for an hour early for a Thursday game throws like the whole routine out. But
I spent all day Thursday thinking it was Friday and all day Friday thinking it was Saturday. So
it doesn't throw the routine off as much as a 3 o'clock game on a Sunday, though.
All right, so coming down to the final weekend of the season, and there's going to be scenarios and everything. We're going to talk about that more in the weekend preview. But right now, as far as the Eastern Conference, the first seed is set with Dubuque. The sixth seed belongs to Chicago at this point. Cedar Rapids isn't catching them, and they're not catching Madison. So what's really still in flux right now is the 2, 3, 4, and 5 seed. Currently, Green Bay in second with 76 points, Muskegon in third with 74, Youngstown in fourth with 72, and Madison in fifth with 68. Madison had a game on Saturday, on Sunday. They ended up winning that game. So still for Youngstown to not drop to the fifth seed at the worst, the magic number is them for 1. So either Madison taking a loss, which we kind of hope doesn't happen this coming weekend. So more dependent on Youngstown at least getting 1 point will keep them in a home series. But yeah, we're going to get more into that in the weekend preview. There is actually a few scenarios that could play out there. Next week's episode is going to be a fun one. Justin will literally be phoning it in next week.
Unless, you know, plans change. Yeah, I plan to make it up to the Plymouth game on Saturday. And due to the likelihood of us having to record early, probably right after that game, I will be in the car, hopefully not like Trey Taylor and in a blizzard. Was that Trey?
Yeah, that was Trey.
Yeah.
The whole entire interview never told us he was driving in a blizzard while he was doing the interview. We didn't find out until the very end. Yeah, so right now, the most likely scenario to play out is that the Phantoms, after this weekend, will be playing in the first round on Monday. So if that is, in fact, the case, we will actually be recording after the conclusion of the game on Saturday night, so we can get the episode out on Sunday morning. And like I said, Justin will literally be phoning it in, so he'll be in a car on the way back, coming to us via telephone. We're going to go old fashioned with this one.
I'm sure I've done crazier, but not on a podcast.
Now, should we at least wait long enough for you to get out of the Detroit area so I don't have to edit out like gunshots and stuff like that?
Yeah, don't worry. I mean, I'll only fire back if they're getting close.
This could be the best episode yet coming up here.
I mean, we've already had Justin in a tornado warning, so.
It would only be fitting if the season ended under gunfire. You're right.
And began. Began with a tornado warning, ended with gunfire. There we go.
Two sirens, a different kind though.
Yeah, so crazy weekend. We're gonna have a lot to talk about this week, including me discovering that if you want a way for your Kit Kat to taste really good, not only does it have to be free, but it has to be stolen
from a child.
I'm not like, above stealing candy from children.
You're right. My son only brought it up three times today to me. Honestly, Sam, I thought you were going to give it back. You're playing a joke. And then I saw you eating it. And if his eyes could have killed you, you wouldn't be in this conversation right now.
puts a dollar in a vending machine. Nothing happens. Puts another dollar in a vending machine and six Kit Kats shoot out. I felt I had to teach him a lesson about pride because he was very happy about the six Kit Kats he was holding in his hand.
Right.
I felt like I had needed to teach him a lesson about pride.
Just pretend I'm the government and this is your taxes.
This is dad tax, but
and the best part of this story is tell everybody listening how many Kit Kats he ended up with when it was all said and done.
Yeah, so he started with six. He paid for two. Sam took one, and he handed out three Kit Kats to the players. Three Kit Kats to the players that are coming off the ice after the jersey auction. So I left him with the original two that he paid for. All said and done, he got what he paid for.
You know, it takes a village to raise a child. So I was happy we were able to help him, you know, help him with that life lesson.
Thank you, Sam. I'm sure he'll be happy to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure he sees it that way. All right. So we're going to go ahead and step aside for a minute. The weekend recap is coming up with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dan.
And Chris. This is Pitchmen, the Steel Valley Soccer Podcast.
We cover all things high school soccer in the Mahoning Valley.
Catch our episodes on Spotify.
Or visit our website for the skill.
In the back of the net.
The teams.
Mitchell with the shot. Goal! Finds the back of the net.
And the soundboard.
Is the best net. For more information, go to steelvalleysoccer.com. Das
Boot. This is Tomas Mahu from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you are listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We're back with the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of Phantoms hockey, Western Reserve Radio. So, Youngstown welcoming Green Bay to the Covelli Center for three games, three very big games. As far as the standings are concerned, and after Youngstown's performance this weekend, is setting up for a very end, you know, very interesting last ending to the season, which other than the fact that once again, it's the U-17s, you can't ask for better ends of season to the way this is coming down to, because there's a lot at stake and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot going on coming into this final weekend.
Yeah. And I mean, keep your eyes on the scoreboard around the league.
Yeah. So kicking it off with the game on Friday, this game was a 2-1 overtime loss for the Phantoms, but importantly enough, did pick up a point in this game. Green Bay scoring only 5:42 into the first period on the power play, giving them a 1-0 lead. And that's basically how this game would hold all the way until 48 seconds left in the third period. Youngstown had pulled Aiden Wright for an extra attacker, and Tomas Mahu picking up his first goal of the season. I think him and Colson were two of the last ones, weren't they?
Do believe so.
On the roster. So
yep.
Took care of all that this weekend. Tomas Mahu, picking up his first of the season, and Connor DeHaro, who this kid has had a good couple of weeks. You know, we kind of joke about like how much he, if you look at him, how much he has aged in the past year. Connor DeHaro looks like a man out there now.
Yeah. And I mean, he's skating hard, fighting for the puck. So,
yeah, on Mach's goal that he scored there, DeHaro made a Herculean effort to keep that puck in the zone.
Yeah.
And to get it over to Mach. And that play doesn't happen if DeHaro doesn't do that. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Youngstown ties the game at one. The game goes to overtime, so Youngstown picking up a point there. Only a minute 25 into overtime, Green Bay's Michael D'Angelo ends up getting the game winner. Not a great overtime for Youngstown. Did not really possess the puck at all in that overtime period.
So, yeah, I mean, that's how 3-on-3 goes sometimes. I mean, I remember us playing Green Bay, I think, in Rochester one time where we possessed the puck almost the entire time and Green Bay touched it once and they got a goal. So,
yeah, it almost feels like overtime now is like you're trying to limit yourself to like maybe one or two quality chances. And other than that, it just seems like teams are holding on the puck for a shootout.
I mean, it was supposed to open the game up, make it more exciting. And now teams are treating it more like a chess match and keeping their finger on the piece until they're sure they've got.
Yeah, I noticed the Phantoms, they start out with two defensemen on the ice for the first half. And then they switch to two forwards on the ice for the second half of overtime. And I mean, the record's not all that great in overtime as it is right now, but I never have a good feeling when it gets there, I should say, because you never know what the heck's going to happen.
Now, to be fair, we have seen worse overtime formats.
Yeah, the 7-minute.
Yeah, the 7-minute overtime that starts out 4-on-4, and then what, after 3 minutes have gone or something like that, it's after a whistle, it goes down to 3-on-3. And yeah, we've seen way worse. Something that ended up definitely being a theme this weekend, fireworks early in this game, carried through pretty much the entire weekend. Andrew Strathman with, I'd say that was about like a 1 or 2 punch knockout and his fight with Ben Poitras. Then in the second period, Colson Hanrahan, who you'll be hearing from in the next segment, Colson pretty much with a 1-punch knockout.
That's hammer hands.
I think Ryan Humphrey just kind of turtled up there.
Yeah.
After the first punch.
I wouldn't blame him.
Tried to talk the talk, could not walk the walk.
No.
I mean, not quite as bad as an elbow to the face, but hey, that's what happens. Yeah, so, I mean, this was a game that, I mean, for sure, this was a defensive game. You know, and all credit to the Phantoms, you know, and especially to Aiden Wright, kept them in this game, kept it a 1-0 game, and just kept pressing and pressing and pressing and finally able to get that tying goal, and at the very least, being able to get a point out of this game.
Yeah, I thought that for Green Bay, Adam Guyon in net, I thought he did a great job. I mean, it was a low scoring game, but I thought they had some quality looks on net and he kind of stood on his head a couple times in there and kept the puck out. And then, six on five at the end when Mach scored, it felt like there was a goal coming for the Phantoms because they had chance after chance, wave after wave of offense. And finally he put it in there. But, like you said, Aiden Wright played a great game, but I think the story of the weekend for Green Bay was, you know, their goalies kind of kept them in the game probably when they shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving, yeah, that was the Thursday game. Okay, there we go, make sure I got my ducks in a row here. The game on Friday, this was a 4-2 win for the Phantoms. Taking a look here in the first period, former Phantom Blake Beschen on the power play got put Green Bay up 1-0, and then Colson Hanrahan, as we alluded to earlier, picking up his first USHL goal there at 9:25 of the first period, tying the game actually with Green Bay 1-1. And then just about a little over 4 minutes later, Ryan Botterill on the power play, picking up his 27th of the year, giving Youngstown a 2-1 lead. Skip ahead to the second period. Green Bay ties the game at 2, 5 minutes into the second period. At the 12-12 mark, Brecken Smith picking up his 5th of the season, giving Youngstown the 3-2 lead. And then but in the third period, Nathan Lewis giving Youngstown the insurance goal there. Assisted by Serato and Botterill. So, I mean, we're going to be talking a lot about them coming up here. Yeah, this was, you know, Youngstown not great in the shot department on Thursday, 5 in the first. You know, like you talk about, Dan, 15 shots in the second period, just kind of wave after wave, and then only 5 shots in the third period. Youngstown putting up 36 shots in this game. This felt like one of the more complete games we've seen Youngstown play in a while. Just beginning to end, especially there at the end of the game, they did not take their foot off the gas. Instead of just kind of holding back and trying to hold on to the lead, Youngstown, they kept pushing, and, you know, look what happens.
I mean, for one, they had good reasons to come out with a lot of edge in that game. Blake Beschen did a little bit of celebration after the opening goal. I think that also put a little bit of bad taste in the team's mouth and, you know, with other things. I think we wanted to really hurt them where it mattered most. That was on the scoreboard, and then hurt them in other ways.
Yeah. If anybody was there before the game and saw the players warming up, you saw there was a, I don't want to say a scrum, but there was a disagreement at center ice between the two teams and a couple of players. So you knew it was going to be an exciting game. And if you go look at the penalty log in the first period, it all came out in that first period there. And it was a good time.
Yeah, after Betchen scored that goal and kind of flexed his muscles there a little bit, I think the Phantoms had enough.
Yeah. This is where I believe Youngstown would go 3 for 3 on fights over the weekend. Adam Patilla and Josh Player, just 13 seconds after the Betchen goal. Yeah, Adam Patilla picks up, ended up being a game misconduct. What did they call that? A secondary
altercation. Yeah,
altercation. Even though the first altercation wasn't necessarily a fight, but
I'm assuming since it came so far after the whistle play was blown.
Yeah,
but yeah, after that fight, Youngstown definitely fed off that energy and basically dominated the rest of that period.
Yeah,
yeah, fighting after during a stoppage carries some weight. I think.
Yeah. I don't think
in the mysterious rule book that's not there.
I don't think you guys were able to see because we're your vantage point. But when Patilla was skating off the ice after being escorted off, he licked his hand that he just punched that kid in the face with and gave a wink to the bench. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got to see, you know, you can punch a referee and, you know, you can punch a linesman and nothing comes from it. We got our once every 2 years false alarm for the arena's fire alarm going off. And then the 15 minutes while somebody tries to remember how to turn the flashing lights off, that it happens every 2 years. You'd kind of think at some point somebody would just write it down.
They're texting old former employees going, "Hey, are you there? Can you help us? Do you remember this?"
Yeah, we're good for this about once every 2 seasons where that fire alarm goes off.
And then one of these times it's going to be real and we're just going to sit there.
You're absolutely right on that.
We got to see a first in this game there late in the third period. Charlie Serrato getting called for a one-handed cross-checking.
I mean, you have to have two hands on your stick, but yeah.
Yeah, apparently now you can cross-check somebody with only having one hand on your stick. That was special.
Maybe you should.
And actually hitting them, you know, with the actual glove and not even the stick.
I tell him next time just to punch the referee instead of cross checking with one hand. You won't go in the box for that.
Linesman. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a public service announcement. If they have the orange bands and, you know, the orange on their jerseys, that's a referee. If they don't, that's a linesman. There is a difference between the two. All right. So Green Bay wins one, Youngstown wins one. We move on to the rubber match on Saturday. This one was a 3-1 win for the Phantoms. This was basically Youngstown from beginning to end. Yeah, Ryan Botterill picking up a goal there in the first period. The only goal of the first period, giving Youngstown a 1-0 lead. Coming into the second period, kind of catching Green Bay napping a little bit. Ryan Botterill picks up his second goal of the game, only 13 seconds into the second period. Mikey Burchill just 2.5 minutes later, shorthanded, picking up his 13th of the season. Green Bay would pick one up a couple minutes later, and that was basically the scoring for the game, giving Youngstown the 3-1 win. You know, and we especially saw in that third period, like the last 10 minutes or so, Green Bay was throwing everything but the kitchen sink at the Phantoms, in Youngstown's defensive zone, you know, trying to get goals back. A lot of credit to Youngstown, just shot blockers, getting their sticks in the lane and everything else. Green Bay controlled a good chunk of the latter half of that third period. They only ended the period with 6 shots on goal.
Yeah.
I thought Youngstown's defense was just absolutely incredible in that third period.
I mean, they kept play to the perimeter. Just never let them get good looks at the net.
Yeah. They definitely wore more pucks in this game than I think than they did any other game this year. To echo what you're saying there, Sam.
And then just kind of my favorite part of this game on Saturday, Mikey Burchill's goal there in the second period, 2:49 into the second period. That was Youngstown's 5th shot on goal when Youngstown took a 3-0 lead. So Guyon's save percentage took a little bit of a hit there. He was only batting 400.
I mean, he went up 100 points the next save he made.
Yeah, Youngstown's sixth shot of the game. His save percentage went up 100 points. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and like I had said, sitting there, it's like, wow, this must be what it feels like to be a Chicago fan. It's like 7 shots on goal. We're leading 3-0.
I mean, credit, we have some defense that was able to ride that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got one goal, but I mean, for most of that game, our defense gave them nothing. So
I think the whole series against Green Bay, that was the best our defense played collectively.
Yes.
As far as a consistency basis.
But it's just all, you know, a lot of the talk of what, you know, you always hear coaches, GMs, everybody else always talking about building from the net out. You know, just the combination of Aiden Wright and the Phantoms defense in this game was, they were incredible the entire game. But again, I mean, they put that last 10 minutes or so of the third period, they put on a masterclass.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you want to see going into playoff hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, talking to Mikey Burchill last week, he had said, you know, we're in playoff mode now. Every game between now and the end of the season is a playoff game. Other than the first period on Thursday.
Yeah.
That was a little slow. Maybe bled into the second period a little bit. But yeah, we watched playoff hockey this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think even our response to losing the first game is what you want to see out of the playoffs.
Exactly. All right. So with that out of the way, it is now time for the Dump and Chase podcast, 3 stars of the week. And we're not even going with 3. We're just slapping names all over the place here.
Yeah,
so
this is going to be one of those slash weeks.
That's right. So kicking it off with the 3rd stars.
Tomas Macho and Colson Hanrahan. You've got 2 obviously defensive defensemen picking up their first goals and at the right moment. I mean, Macho was the tying goal that got us a point. Hanrahan, the answer when they scored the first goal. So kudos to 2 guys who are more defensive defensemen for stepping up on offense at the right time.
All right. So that brings us to the 2nd star of the week. That goes to Aiden Wright, putting in a full weekend of work, playing in all 3 games, ending up going 2-0-1 on the weekend with a 1.67 goals against average and a 917 save percentage. Again, you know, as much as you can attribute to Youngstown's defense this past weekend, there were some points Aiden Wright had to stand on his head. And I mean, he came through in every way, shape and form.
All right. That leaves us with our 1st star of the week and a name that we've been talking about a lot as of late. And that would be Ryan Botterill, Charlie Serrato and Nate Lewis. The Lions mate there, our first line. They had 4 goals and 6 assists combined on the week. Botterill had 3 goals and 2 apples from that as well. And to kind of echo what Coach Ward said, this line here, they're not just scoring goals, they're scoring NHL quality goals. You could tell when they're on the ice, they're the best forwards on the ice. Doesn't matter who they're playing against, what defenses the other team's running with, they're doing their job and they're making it look easy. And I'm going to say probably take my least controversial take of all time and say these 3 guys are pretty good at hockey.
All right, so that will do it for 3 stars and the weekend recap. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking to Phantoms defenseman Colson Hanrahan. So keep it here with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We at the Dump and Chase podcast believe that all kids who want to play hockey should have the ability to, regardless of financial barriers. That's why we support Black Bear Youth Hockey Foundation.
Through individual grants and sponsored programming, the foundation's goal is to increase youth hockey participation and ease the financial stress that many families undertake to afford equipment and ice time. Youth hockey cultivates friendships, teamwork, and a lifetime of memories.
For scholarship information, or if you would like to make a donation, visit blackbearyouthhockeyfoundation.com.
This is Ryan Rosinski from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
Welcome back to the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of the Youngstown Phantoms, Western Reserve Radio. So for this week's edition of Phantom Files, we welcome a native of Longmeadow, Massachusetts, who was traded to the Phantoms from the PAL Junior Islanders of the NCDC on February 7th and has been a spark plug for a reinvigorated defensive core that this past weekend gave the high-powered Green Bay offense fits all weekend. He is number 47, Colson Hanrahan. Colson, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
So right off the bat, can you tell us about the day that you got the news that you were being traded from the NCDC, not only to the Phantoms, but moving up to the USHL.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a usual night. I was actually watching an NHL game, and then I got a call from my coach telling me that I was getting sent up here. I was pretty blown away.
Now, did he tell you right away, or did he just tell you, like, you were traded, and then...
Yeah, no, he was just like... Yeah, he was... He just called me, and, I mean, we don't really talk on the phone too much, mostly in person, so I was like, this is pretty strange, and then he just said, like, this is an opportunity you can't pass this up on, so he just let me know.
Now, if I'm correct, which I've been known not to be on more than one occasion, your older brother Carter also played with the Junior Islanders.
Yep, correct, and he's still playing there this year.
You were both wearing the A's for that team?
Yep.
I mean, can you talk about that for a second? I mean, getting, you know, at a high level, getting to play with, you know, your older brother on a team.
Yeah, it's pretty special, especially for my parents, just being able to come and watch both of us play together. And it's just great, like, being around them and just leading the team. So,
I mean, was there kind of a, like, you know, you were moving on to the USHL, but at the same time, you know, you were leaving your brother. I mean, was there anything to that or?
Honestly, not really. Like, he was super proud for me. So there wasn't really much there. Like, obviously, it's unfortunate leaving your brother and your whole team, but they were all proud of me and wanted to see me move on.
Last season, you know, around the time that here in Youngstown we're celebrating, you know, a Clark Cup championship, the Junior Islanders were celebrating Dineen Cup, which is the championship for the NCDC. So first of all, congratulations there.
Thank you.
From what it looks like, the Junior Isles are in the East Finals again this season. Their East Finals matchup, yeah, coming up this weekend. So, even with you moving on, I imagine you're still kind of keeping tabs on them, you know, and have to be pretty proud of what they're doing.
Yeah, of course. I've been following it all the whole way, especially because my brother is there still. So I've just been texting the boys before the game, like, wishing them luck.
When you were playing for the Junior Islanders, I believe you were playing, it was called the Rinks.
Yeah, we practiced at the Rinks, and we played games at Northwell Health Life Center.
Okay. What was, like, the capacity there?
Oh, at the Rinks, it was probably, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 100 people. But it'd be, like, slam packed if it ever got that much.
So how is it that, you know, one day you're playing at the Rinks, and then a few weeks later you're at the Covelli Center, you know, the school day game, you're playing in front of 5,000 kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unreal experience. Like, we used to get probably 15 parents to our last game, and then I come up here and we're playing in front of, like, thousands of the people. It's pretty awesome.
Have you played in front of crowds that big before?
No, I never have.
So just the noise level alone, just something you weren't used to.
Yeah, correct.
Especially with those school day games, because it's just nonstop noise from beginning to end.
Yeah, exactly. Kids just screaming their heads off. It's awesome, though.
Now, on our end, from what it looks like you integrated into the Phantoms roster pretty easily. Everybody we talked to, like, that said that, like, everybody took to you right away, and it didn't feel like somebody who was joining the team. It felt like somebody who had been with the team the whole time. Like, what did that feel like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was just really welcomed by all the guys. Like, they all took me under their wing. They didn't treat me like I was some guy that just got called up, so that really helped me, like, mold my way in.
Who's, like, some of the guys you've, you know, become, like, your, like, hangout buddies so far since you've been here?
I mean, kind of all the guys, but, like, more specifically, like, Stratty, he's a great leader. Ryan Rosinski, I got really close with him. Pittner, I bring him to the rink every day, so I've really, like, molded around, like, basically every guy, though, for the most part.
Now, we touched on this a little bit when you did the post-game interview the other night. In the NCDC, you acted more as, like, an offensive defenseman, but since coming to Youngstown, you've taken on more of a defensive role. Was that a transition you needed to make, or was that just always part of your game? You just kind of steered more towards the offensive side in the NCDC?
Yeah, it was always a part of my game, like, being physical and being defensive. But in the NCDC, I was able to make more offensive plays, but here, obviously, it's a lot harder to do that. So we have a lot of very solid defensemen that are very good at getting in the rush. So I kind of just locked it down on the back end and just kind of play my role and try to be physical.
Now, we've seen you in two or three fights now. Have you, like, taken boxing lessons at any point? Cause we've yet to see you really struggle.
Yeah, no, I actually did this past summer. I, not knowing that I'd be having this many fights, but I took a few boxing lessons just to know how to throw an actual punch.
try not to hit him in the back of the helmet.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely done that a couple of times, though. Knuckles are still chalked up a bit, but.
Now, you know what those fights have earned you, what your nickname was for some people here?
Yeah, I've heard a couple names going around.
Yeah, the guys in my section call you Hammer Hands. They
oh, geez.
And they love you.
I was going to say, as quickly as it seemed you might have gelled with the team, I think you picked up a lot of fans really quick. We like physical play here, so.
Yeah.
All right, so going back to the beginning, how'd you get started in hockey?
Oh, I started when I was 2 or 3. I believe I picked it up because my brother started skating right before me, but before that, nobody in my family ever played hockey.
So is it just something to do, take the kids down to the rink, sign you up, and see what happens, or?
Yeah, I actually never got the full story on that, but I mean, I believe that's what it is.
All right, did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I played lacrosse, which my dad played lacrosse, so that's how I got into that.
So you thought you'd just make it harder and do it on skates?
Yeah, exactly.
You were pretty good at lacrosse, weren't you?
Yeah, I was pretty good, growing up through high school.
You offered a scholarship to play lacrosse?
Yeah, I was to University of Massachusetts Amherst.
Wow.
So it was kind of hard, steering away from there, but got to do what you got to do sometimes.
What, was there a point where it came down to a decision between, lacrosse and hockey, or did you always feel like you were going to go the hockey route no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, after I was talking to a couple schools for lacrosse, it was sort of do I just finish out my season or my senior year and go to college for lacrosse? Or I ended up making the decision to play hockey, obviously, and that made me skip my senior year and have to do online school and start playing juniors. So it's sort of if I just stay in school and go to college or do the whole juniors thing.
Okay. So now just overall, how have you been doing just overall your time in Youngstown?
Oh, I've loved it here so far. I mean, I love the fans of the game. I like how they like the everybody's gritty out here, and I play golf with the guys. There's always something to do though out here.
Are you any good at golf? Or
can't say I am. In case any of the boys are listening, if they weren't though, I'd say I'm pretty good. But no, I lose probably 10 balls every time I play.
So you're not quite to a Ryan Rusinski level yet.
No, he's nasty.
So when you looking back, this 3-3 series with Green Bay, as physical as that series ended up being, being who you are, were you somebody that was just kind of, licking your chops, waiting for that next shift, or, asking coach if you can play 30, 40 minutes that night, or?
No, I'm never really asking for playing time, but yeah, I love games like those, series like those. It felt like playoffs for the most part, just out there making sure you finish every hit. And then just sticking up for your teammates, obviously, if somebody does something dumb on the other team.
All right. So before we let you out of here, we're going to rapid fire some questions at you. Starting out, so far, what's your favorite food spot in or around Youngstown?
That's a good one. I got to say, there's this taco place by my house here. Kelsey, what's it called? Condados? Condados. Tacos? I don't know if you guys have ever had that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Okay. What's the worst nickname you've ever had? And if you say Hammer Hands, Dan's going to cry.
No, it's not that. I don't know. Usually Cole, I guess. I don't usually like Cole, but I mean, it's easy for most people to say.
Right now, what do the boys call you?
Hanny.
Hanny? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, you can put the tissues down. You're good. If you haven't figured it out yet, Dan has been a massive fan of you. I mean, we all have, but Dan has taken it to another level these past couple of months.
Yeah, it's not just your fighting; it's the way you play. Like you said, the grittiness, and I think Youngstown, that's what we're known for. It's what we love about it, and the team as a whole, I think, represents the city very well with the way you guys play.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
All right. So, who was your favorite player growing up?
Well, I'm a Bruins fan, so I gotta say, this is a tough one. I don't want to say anybody wrong here. I'd say Bergeron for the Bruins just because he was a leader, but defensive-wise, I'd say probably Johnny Boychuk.
Well, there's a very – I mean, if you play your cards right, there is a very healthy pipeline between Youngstown and Boston, so.
Yeah, I know.
we from college to professional, we have Phantoms like littered all over the Boston hockey scene. So
yeah, I've heard about that.
You know, play your cards right, it's a possibility. Apparently Boston scouts love coming to Youngstown. What's your favorite movie right now?
Not a huge movie guy, but I'd say Step Brothers. Just like it's classic, but I mean, that's just a good movie. Give me a couple laughs every time.
That may be the first one we've gotten that I've heard of the movie.
We don't go to a lot of movies either.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, what's your favorite TV show to binge?
I'd say Outer Banks. Like, I'm not really a huge TV show guy either, but Outer Banks, like, when it comes out, I'm definitely ripping through that pretty quick.
All right. We're 2 for 2 that I've heard of. We're doing good. Right now, who's your favorite musical artist?
I'd say Zach Bryan.
Okay. But like before a game, what are you listening to kind of, you know, get yourself amped up, or, you know, even just on the way to the rink?
Usually I just shuffle it through my playlists, but I got all sorts of guys in there, like the Lumineers. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll listen to that. Just sort of stay calm and loose, not getting like too jacked up. But when I get to the rink, I just listen to whatever the guys have like playing on the speaker.
Okay. So it came up. I try to mix these up a little bit between all you guys. So I'm going to go with a new one here. What is the best locker room prank you've ever seen or been a part of?
Jeez, you're going to get me killed here. No, I've seen a few guys put a water cup in somebody's helmet. So when they go to grab it, it like falls on them. So, I mean, that one's pretty good.
Are you a big prankster, or you just tend to steer clear of it?
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay clear of it, but I can get my hands involved here and there.
Who's in charge of the music in the locker room?
Oh, Stratty is.
Stratty?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite Handles flavor?
Handles flavor? Oh, I got to go Oreo. I actually just had it like before I got on here, so that's one of my favorite.
All right, so before we get out of here, is there anything you'd like to say to Phantom fans who will be listening in on this?
Just please keep coming. We're trying our best every game, even if we're not winning, but just please keep coming out and get loud, I guess. That's all I really got to say. And appreciate you guys.
All right. So we have been talking to Phantoms defenseman Colson Hanrahan. Colson, thank you for taking a few minutes with us. Definitely we wish you good health the rest of the way out. And we'll see you this Friday at Covelli.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so with that, we're going to step aside for a quick break. The weekend preview is coming up next with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
This is Sam from the Dump and Chase podcast, and I would like to talk to you about Hockey Power Rankings, the new system for ranking youth hockey teams in the United States. Hockey Power Rankings allows teams to be ranked by their win-loss record and strength of schedule, instead of the outdated method of using a team's goal differential. This creates a more competitive balance in scheduling team seasons and tournaments. So if you're someone like me who wants to research the future of junior and college hockey, check out their website at hockeypowerrankings.com and follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is number 47, Colson Hanrahan with the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
This is the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of Phantoms hockey, Western Reserve Radio. So for the weekend ahead, the last weekend of the regular season, starting out, of course, with the Eastern Conference schedule on Friday, Muskegon will be at Chicago. That'll be the first of a 2-game series there. Green Bay at Madison. That's the first of a home and home between those two. Waterloo will be traveling to Dubuque, and Des Moines will be traveling to Cedar Rapids. Then on Saturday, game 2 of Muskegon at Chicago, the second of the home and home between Madison, this time traveling to Green Bay, and Cedar Rapids will be at Dubuque. Which brings us to the Phantoms' final weekend with the U-17s coming to town for a game and then Youngstown heading up there for a game. And we had talked about way back at the beginning of the season, this will be the first time in Phantoms' history the season ends on the road.
That's going to be a little weird, and I'm hoping, knock on wood, I'll be making the trip up for that one. But, I mean, it is what it is, and we have to just play our game and not worry about any of the noise.
Do we blame Dustin Lynch for this?
Yes. Don't know who he is.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know who he is, but I'm blaming him.
He's a country star. That's why He's playing a concert on Saturday.
Yes, he deserves all the blame. Yeah, so, you know, like we talked about, we'll have the next episode unless a miracle happens, which we'll get to here in a second. But unless that miracle happens, we'll have Justin on the road helping with the recap of especially the Saturday. This may be the first time we had a road correspondent ever on the show.
Well, I mean, I've made offers to do stuff like that, but it's never worked out quite like this, where we have to be recording.
Yeah.
This would be a thing you could add to your resume, Justin. Road correspondent for the Dump and Chase podcast.
If the Phantoms make another long run in the playoffs, Dan, buckle in, because I turn into a dictator with the scheduling.
It can't be brutal.
Yeah, can't cancel your bocce ball tournaments.
Oh.
Again, if I remember correctly, when it was all said and done, we had what, 7 or 8 playoff episodes last year? Like in between rounds, and
it seems like 10.
I know there was a lot. I know we did a lot. These are going to be coming fast and furious. If the Phantoms do make another run, these episodes are going to be coming fast and furious, trying to keep up with everything. These will be the final two games of what ended up being a 6-game series, because one of those games, something flipped and we had to play the 18s again. But nope, that's the wrong one. Let me try the other one. Yep, and we lost that game. Okay. But yeah, this will be the final two games of a 6-game series between these two teams. Youngstown so far on the season 4-0 against the U-17s. Of course, September 30th, the banner raising at the Covelli Center, Youngstown winning 12-0 in that game and setting some horrifically unrealistic expectations for the rest of the season of what going to a Phantoms game was going to be like.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And then the game on November 24th, that is a 5-4 win for the Phantoms. And then January 26th and 27th were the last time these two teams played. Youngstown winning the first game 2-1 and then winning the second game 5-1. Altogether, Youngstown has outscored the U-17s 24-6 this season. Of course, the 12-goal game having a lot to do with that. Yeah, just looking at some of the numbers, the U-17s have only been 1-for-16 on the power play against Youngstown. So definitely one of the teams we've been more successful with the penalty kill. We're not even going to talk about the power play numbers on this one. Yeah, so U-17s coming into this weekend, their USHL record, 5-25-3. So combined with the 18s, that is last in the Eastern Conference. Kind of where they used to be. It's been a little while since they've fallen that far down.
I kind of miss fighting them for, you know, a top seed, but one of the top two or three. But I'd rather be facing them than Muskegon.
Yeah. Youngstown coming into this weekend with a record of 31-19-10. That is fourth in the Eastern Conference. I mean, there's not a ton we're going to say about this. I mean, The U-17s have only won 5 games all season. Granted, one of them was last week, but it's one of those things on paper. Yes, we should beat them. Stranger things have happened, especially this season. The games still have to be played in their entirety.
In no way, shape or form could you take this as an automatic win.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to show up and play our game.
So basically what this comes down to, thankfully it was a very late night text message from Matt Lipsack pointing this out to me. And then once I went and looked, a lot of talk about, you know, hoping we can keep far enough ahead of Madison to not have, you know, end up dropping down to the 5 seed, you know, and talking about, you know, keeping the 4th seed, maybe, you know, eking our way up to the 3rd seed. Turns out the 2nd seed is still in play right now.
I thought the road games were a lot further apart than what they actually are. I think everyone did.
So basically, as far as the Phantoms staying in fourth, basically 3 scenarios here, the Phantoms staying in the 4th seed, the magic number is 1 to keep Madison in 5th. So just Youngstown getting 1 point this next weekend will keep them in 4th when the playoffs start. So, yeah, just 1 point there. If Green Bay gets 1 point, if Muskegon gets 2 this next weekend, that would keep Youngstown in 4th place. then we talk about as far as the possibility of the third seed. For that to happen, Youngstown would have to win out, win these next two games, and Muskegon could get no more than 1 point this next weekend with these two games with Chicago. Now, what we're going to call the miracle scenario, for Youngstown to end up with the second seed in the first round bye. First off, Youngstown wins out, of course. Green Bay would have to lose both games versus Madison in regulation, and Muskegon can get no more than 1 point versus Chicago. If that were to be the case, Youngstown would end up tied with Green Bay in the number of points and the row number, which is wins, regulation and overtime wins. If a team wins in a shootout, it does not count towards that row number, but the row number is the first tiebreaker. The second tiebreaker is the head-to-head, which actually between Youngstown and Green Bay, Youngstown won the head-to-head between the two this season. So in that confluence of events, were that all to happen, we would be the two seed.
And again, stranger things have happened. And if that did play out, we would look at this last weekend as being the biggest weekend in Phantoms history.
God, yeah.
Yeah. We're having the makings of what could be an absolutely wild weekend of hockey coming up. The fact that the Phantoms could be as far as fifth or rise as high as second, just because of a way of a couple games go, just shows in this league how precious each and every point is every single game. In a 62 game season, every point matters.
And you will have me rooting for both Madison and Chicago in the same weekend. And that in itself is a miracle.
Yeah. Now, again, this is the long shot. There's a lot out of the Phantoms' hands for this to happen.
And they just have to focus on what they're doing.
You're talking about Chicago getting two wins over Muskegon. Muskegon, I believe, is like 5-0 against Chicago this season. With the argument, Chicago's been on a good little run here as of late. Muskegon has not played Chicago since then. And Muskegon-Chicago is one of those matchups that no matter the records, nothing is guaranteed.
Right. And Chicago really does not have much to play for. They can't go up in any. They're kind of locked in the sixth. This past weekend when they clinched their playoff berth, they kind of sat their top line in the very next game. So there's no telling what Chicago is going to try to do this weekend.
Yeah. Coming in, I mean, Madison's still going to be playing with the assumption that a couple of wins might jump them up to the fourth spot, you know, and a home weekend. So, I mean, that's going to be their mentality coming in with Green Bay. So,
and let's face it, Green Bay just played a really hard 3-game series and only came away with a point. So,
yeah,
momentum is not in their favor, whereas Madison maybe a little more.
Yeah, Green Bay, of course, losing 2 of 3 games this past weekend. Muskegon this past weekend dropped both of their games to the U18s, and Madison this past weekend. Let's see here. Yeah, they split with the U17s and then beat Cedar Rapids on Sunday. So, you know, it's, and again, Madison Green Bay, you know, interstate rivals. That's, you know, that's a rivalry game for those two teams. Throw everything out the window. You know, all bets are off in these type of games. And that is going to be another series between these two teams where, irregardless of positioning, there's going to be a lot of pride on the line.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's, you know what, I'm going on the hope that we talked about before, you know, the two things you need in a season is luck and you need health. Youngstown is finally to the point we have health.
No, maybe just a little luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin, when you looked at the line chart on Saturday, your reaction was, wow, we have healthy scratches. Two players essentially on the IR who have been on the IR for a little while now, injured reserve, you know, who have been that way for a while now, and two healthy scratches. You were very excited about that fact.
I mean, not seeing SUS.
Yeah, not seeing suspended, not seeing injured.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need luck, which Youngstown has had zero of this season. Can either of you think back to any point where you'd say, wow, we were lucky there anytime this season?
Really, I only thought about that when Pittner elbowed that kid in the head this weekend, but they end up getting him with the, yeah, they end up getting anyways.
That elbow wasn't luck. That was
right.
Skill and good aim.
By luck, I meant he didn't get penalized for that.
That was skill and good aim right there.
And I mean, let's face it. We all know what was coming. And
yeah,
we did get a little bit lucky there. That could have been called a lot worse. And
yeah,
I think there were, that's not what I'm going to call luck. I'm right. going to call that karma.
Yeah. So Torrey Pitner getting a 1-game suspension for that elbow. I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that suspension.
Little karma.
I would like to think we've had no luck this season. Maybe we've just been saving it up for one good weekend.
I'd like to think that. But again, I mean, we just have to focus on beating the U-17s and let
the chips fall where they may.
4 points. Yeah.
All right. So the game on Friday at the Covelli Center, that will be a 7:05 puck drop. That is trivia night that was just announced. So I guess we'll see what goes on with that. Tickets are available for this game. You can call the Phantoms box office at 330-747-PUCK. That is 330-747-7825. If you can't make it to the games, you can catch the video stream on Flow Sports or the audio stream. Well, you have video of Matt Lipsack up in the booth, the Lipper Cam, on Western Reserve Radio, either on WesternReserveRadio.com and, of course, streaming on the Phantoms Facebook page as well. The game on Saturday, that will take place up at USA Hockey Arena. That will be a 7 p.m. puck drop, and that game will be available on the USA Hockey website. Good luck with that. Like, every time I try to get into that thing, there's some kind of hiccup getting into it. As always, the Youngstown Phantom social media will put out information and links and everything to get into that. And then, of course, our last time this season, hearing the legend himself, Pete Krupski, on the microphone. So another season in the books for Pete.
Think of the amount of talent that has gone in front of that man.
I do wonder if he'll remind us where Osborne and Jack Wilson are from.
Well, especially Osborne, since he played in that arena. But
hey, did you guys know Charlie Serrato used to play for the NTDP?
If you didn't,
you will on Saturday. All right. So that's about all the time we have for this show. So we're going to take one last break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap everything up and look ahead to next week's episode. So keep it here one more time with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
Did you miss the last Youngstown Phantoms hockey game? Catch up with the Dump and Chase podcast.
Visiting YoungstownPhantoms.com, or you can call the Phantoms box office. So tickets are... Son of a... Phantoms box office. Or you can call the Phantoms box office at 330-747-PUCK. That is 330-747-7825.
Yay. All righty.
The Dump and Chase podcast, Wednesdays at 5, right here on Western Reserve Radio and the iMedia One Network.
This is number 9, Miles Gunty from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We're back, and that will do it for this edition of the Dump and Chase podcast. A massive thank you to Colson Hanrahan for coming on this week's episode. And as always, a big thank you to all of our listeners for hanging out with us this week. So next week's episode, which if Youngstown ends up 3 or 4 seed and has to play on Monday, that episode will be coming out Sunday morning. So just a programming note there. But yeah, we will be recapping the 2 games with the U-17s and, of course, previewing the USHL playoffs, wherever we and everybody else may end up. So you can hear this show every Wednesday on Western Reserve Radio, either on WesternReserveRadio.com, the Live 365 or TuneIn apps, the Western Reserve Radio Facebook page and Twitter pages. I'm getting worse at this as we go along, and the Youngstown Phantoms Facebook page. You can hear the show in its podcast form on Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also find us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and of course, our merch store, and you can find all of these links on our website at dumpandchasepod.com. So before we get out of here, to my co-host Dan Conley and Justin Irwin, coming down to the last weekend of the season, any final words of wisdom?
One home game left. Get your ass there.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're here already. It's feel like it's been a 60 some games, you know, 60 games, but it's been over in a blink.
There's a blur and we're the last game.
That's the joy of a full hockey season and doing a podcast about that full hockey season. Especially February, March, when you're going through the dog days of it, you know, we're worrying about getting through that. And here we are now at the end of the regular season. All right. So as we wrap up, remember that hockey is a sport played on ice with sticks and a puck. And our podcast is a thing you just listen to. See ya.
Again, it's almost like 1 o'clock. So I'm hopping off here.
Hopping? Easter's over, Justin.
Yeah. Okay. Jumping, leaping.
All of the above.